I'm a senior lecturer here in the media design department, and we teach computational design. So I teach people how to express themselves creatively using computer and computer codes. Traditionally, that's been programming, scripting, but more and more recently, that includes these AI techniques. So 2 years ago, in October of 2016, I was teaching a graduate level class to our master's students, and I was teaching some of these techniques, and one of our master's students at the time, Jonah Bishop, he used some of these techniques to basically do the first deepfake. So this was he wasn't doing it on real imagery. He was taking a rendered face, and then he was swapping in a realistic face using a deep neural network. But to my knowledge, that's the first sort of use of the technology of deepfakes. They captured the public imagination more recently because they've been popularized in a different context and banned from a lot of online message boards. So I believe the first place this came up was on Reddit, and they had a deepfake image board. And what people were essentially doing was doing face swaps with porn. So you would have a porn actress, and the face would be swapped out with another actress or with someone else. Really, the technology is agnostic to the context it's being deployed in. And in fact, it's not even specific to faces. Like, you can use the same deep neural networks on data sets of logos or fonts or other things. But this particular application is what's caused the controversy.
So before we get into the controversy, what are some of the positive aspects of deepfake, and what kind of developments does it offer as we enter our AI future?
If you back away from deepfakes, so deepfakes, as they've kind of understood, involved the swapping of faces into an image, and specifically into video. And that's useful in if someone's creating a movie or creating that. And this isn't really a new technique. This, if you go to Weta or the other big special effects companies, they do these techniques. I believe, and I should look up this reference, but I believe at Weta a few years ago, they had an actor die before filming was complete, and so they shot the rest of the film with someone else and swap the face in. And this isn't, you know, completely new technique. I think what's changed is that the accessibility of these tools has become easier. But when you step back from the application of deepfakes, what you have is you have a system that's able to create media or create imagery without the same type of interface. So instead of, you know, going into Photoshop or one of these tools to sort of explicitly state each pixel or sort of put everything in place, you can set higher level goals for the image. And like I said, this applies to logo design, it applies to fonts, it applies to all sorts of any structured data set. You could use this to synthesize new imagery.
One deepfake developer has said that he wants to democratize this work so that no technical knowledge is required and anyone could use a photo of someone's face and put it on, as you mentioned before, a pornographic clip. Mm-hmm. So moving into the legal side of things, this isn't only identity theft, but it's an acceleration of what we've seen recently with revenge porn. Do you think that there are sufficient legal frameworks to deal with these threats, or is the technology moving faster than society is?
I know at least one of the concerns that I saw online around this was with child pornography, because the laws around child pornography are very strong, and I believe someone was concerned that they had swapped it. They were using some source imagery from Harry Potter, and some of the actors in Harry Potter weren't of a certain age, and so I think that there's certain parts that people are tracking the laws on this, but I think that the laws are still being sort of playing catch up. And one thing just to clarify is, I guess the technology is very new, but I guess the application is sort of older. So if you think about how photo editing happened 20 years ago, it was happening in a dark room, and people were cutting out images and they were gluing them on. And I mean, this was maybe 30 years ago. This is how you would do manipulation of photography. And then Photoshop came along and democratized it. And there was a lot of these same concerns at the time about, you know, how will we know what's real and what's not. I think what I was trying to say with the example with the special effects is that as a technique, swapping in faces has existed for a long time, but there is a new technology, the technology of generative neural networks, and this is what's sort of in this analogy becoming the new Photoshop. So you have a new technology which allows not, you know, a high budget production movie to do this, but it allows a cheaper, maybe for now not as high quality version of this to exist that from anyone that's motivated enough to do it.
Mm. But if we're saying that, do you think it has more of a place in the private sphere than the public sphere?
I think that the technology to create these is sort of already, it's in the public domain. Like there are research papers that are published that explain this. So I think that I think that the difference maybe I meant not so much public and private, it's just expense. I think right. To do this before, it would have taken a large budget, and you would have had to hire multiple animators to do this by hand, whereas now you can have the computer kind of do it automatically for you.
Do you think that it's reasonable to view this as another step in an overall societal move to post-truth politics?
I wouldn't characterize it as that. And again, we are outside of my specialty, but I think that I specialize in media design and in creating media. And I think in that domain, we have seen these things happen before. And I think Photoshop is a strong reference. That said, you know, we went through the transition into Photoshop pretty well. And as a society, I think people are even comfortable using Photoshop as a verb now. Like, you know, this image looks Photoshopped. If you know, 20 years ago, it wasn't clear how that was going to evolve. I think that now we're going into a similar step where the technology is changing quickly, and it will take some time for this to become public knowledge and for us to sort of adapt the norms around how these things are used.
Do you have any final comments about this whole topic?
I think my main thing that I would like to add is to keep in mind that deepfakes is one particular niche application at the corner of this technology. So there's the ability to swap faces, and that could be used for deepfakes, but it could also be used for someone to generate other videos on YouTube or other. If you're any video that you're making might be enhanced by being able to swap identities out, and so there is a use for this in a creative context. But even stepping back further, you know, that this isn't confined to faces. This is a new technology that will make all kinds of media production easier. I think that what's happened is that one particular, this has caught on in one small community and caused some issues. But I think that what we'll probably see is we'll probably see this technology blossoming in other areas that aren't specific to face swapping.